They're trying to take our voices. They're trying to make our choices. So we scream loud, loud, loud. And oh, I know you feel the lightning. And it's so exciting. So here we go. You can't stop the thrill from going. You can't stop the world from knowing. The truth will set you free.
Oh. The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, joined by my better half, Boris.
Wow, better half? You're the better half.
I'm not going to argue with you. That's okay.
There you go.
Our show is available live on your radio through our app called The Cure or our website, amyspurpose.com. And we're broadcasting from Miami via satellite and also on our website, amyspurpose.com. This show deals with suffering and the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that they're not alone. And in this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse well into young adulthood. We also have professionals in the medical field and inspirational speakers that are willing to help and can give us valuable information, because awareness is vital and transparency is needed. I do believe that we all have suffered or do suffer from something. As for me, my healing came from God, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be very challenging, but always know there's always someone who cares. That was You Can't Stop the Girl by Bebe Rexha. Sometimes we are misunderstood. And with repeated misconceptions over the years, they try to take our voices. But there's always choices, and it's so exciting to feel the lightning. No matter what, they are our future. The world will keep knowing, and the truth will always scream free. Sometimes we only know our personal experiences and what we are fed through the media and our environment. The nice thing is that life's experiences help us discover realities over time. All I knew were the common misconceptions about millennials and my own experience as a mother of a millennial. I have learned that we cannot allow our personal experiences influence future similar situations. And this became even more evident with millennials, as we happen to know three very amazing millennials that provided us with a brand new fresh perspective. From the beginning of the millennial period, what we would call the baby millennial, we have Adriana.
Hi, how are you?
Who's a registered nurse and works as a full research coordinator.
Full one?
Full time.
I'm a full research coordinator. Yes, I am.
And then we also have Manella.
Hi.
And Manella is your original...
From Bosnia.
And she's the middle part, right?
Yes,
the middle millennial. The middle millennial. And then we have Teresa, who's also a research coordinator.
Hi, I'm Teresa.
And you're at the end of the millennial period.
The old one.
Right. So, perfect. We have all three. Guys, thank you so much for being on the show and being with us. And thank you for helping us develop a new perspective, as we have found you guys to be responsible, dedicated, committed, always eager to learn, and yes, super helpful. Yet still, some people don't like to be called a millennial, and that really shouldn't be. But if you don't know any different, how else would you know otherwise? And you know that TV sensationalizes things, and sometimes you get most of the negative, and sometimes the good stuff gets overlooked. So today I brought in good stuff. So Adriana, since you're the young millennial, we're going to start with you. And if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, your experiences, and your beliefs, how you came to be the wonderful person that you are at such a young age.
Okay, well, I was born here in Miami, Florida, born and raised. My parents are from Nicaragua, both of them. So I have family in two different areas in Nicaragua. I think that's where a lot of my upbringing came from. Because since we were the first, me and my brother really are the first ones from my family line, like from my mom's line especially, like to be born here. Nicaragua is a very, very Catholic country.
Okay.
So my upraising was very Catholic. I went to St. Louis Church that all my life. My parents were married there. I was baptized there. My confirmation was there.
So you had structure and discipline.
Yes.
Growing up, you had chores, let's say.
Yeah, definitely.
You had responsibilities. Your parents let you experience consequences.
Yes.
I'm trying to find similarities. Okay.
Or not.
Okay. And so, but how old are you?
I'm 25.
25. And you're already a registered nurse.
Yes.
That's amazing.
I was a registered nurse by the age of 22.
Nice.
Yeah, that was one of our biggest things growing up. It was finish school, get school done, get somewhere where you can do something with it. You know.
Are you among the first?
Yes.
To graduate school, at college. Nice.
Yes. My parents did before me, college, and then I finished up until I did two associate's degrees, and then I got my registered nurse license. And then I'm planning on going back next semester.
Nice. So you will continue your education.
Yes.
Because you're always thinking about bettering yourself.
Yes.
Seeing what's the next step.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. That's one of the things that I would constantly think about. I mean, there's a lot of things that are said about millennials, from that they're not responsible, that they're lazy. But here's the thing, I started thinking about it, and I said, I didn't have the best experiences of how to be a parent growing up. I didn't know. My situation was unique. I had custody battles. So I spent a lot of the time doing the opposite of what my parents did. My parents were very strict, military style. I was probably way too lenient. My daughter did not have the responsibilities that I had, or maybe you guys had growing up, even though you guys are millennials. And so one of the theories that I try to think why there's a gap in the generations is because we don't understand that even though we go through these generation gaps, it's very important to know that we are so similar. And I was even looking at studies that said that a lot of the myths that they say about millennials are really disproved. It's not that much different from past generations. And actually, they're even doing better now. So a lot of these myths are disproved. And those are the things that I wanted to say about millennials, but they can be barriers. Now we're gonna go to Nela.
I was actually just thinking about it. Contrary to you, my upbringing was very independent, very lenient. I was living outside of my house since I was 14. I went to boarding school, and my parents always let me make my own choice. I mean, if I make the wrong choice, there would be consequences, but they would never tell me what to do. They would always tell me, you know the best. So,
and you went to boarding school?
Yes.
For how many years?
I went throughout high school. I went 2 years in Sarajevo, which is the capital of Bosnia, and then 2 years to United World College, which is an initiative to bring the world together, in Mostar. And after that, I came to the States for college.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were a very hard worker from a long time ago.
Yeah.
Wow. And wow, that's incredible. And where did you learn? I mean, you're from Europe. From what part of? I believe it's same part from Bobby.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Almost.
Yeah, we are from the Balkans. It's
the
Eastern
Balkans.
Yes, Eastern Europe.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. It used to be Yugoslavia. The Balkans went through the war, like in the 90s, where it separated into seven different countries.
So
what
you didn't get
to
experience communism or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
And even during the war, we lived in Germany.
Okay.
The war was from 92 to 95, I believe.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I did not grow up in communism.
Wonderful. And now we have Teresa, who's at the latter end of the millennials. Can you tell us a little bit about you?
My parents divorced when I was like 10 or 11, so I passed to be the better half of my mom. So
we're going off into break, and when we get back, we'll keep talking about the misconceptions of today's millennials. This is Amy Cabo. You've been listening to The Cure.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
Lo siento mucho, pero me voy, porque a tu lado me di cuenta que nada soy.
Y me cansé de luchar y de guerrear en vano, de estar en la línea de fuego y de meter la mano. Acepto mis errores, también soy humano, y tú no ves que lo hago porque te amo. Pero ya, no tengo más nada que hacer aquí.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back to the show. For those that are just tuning in, I am Amy Cabo and this is The Cure. We're live on your radio and on social media. Look for Amy's purpose.
Okay,
you forgot his cue. Okay, later the show will be available as a podcast. Search for The Cure in any podcast channel or download our app, The Cure. We would love to have your feedback on our show. Please visit amyspurpose.com and fill out the survey under The Cure Radio. Thank you. That was On My Way by Alan Walker, Sabrina Carpenter, and Faruko. I think the portion sang was Faruko. He describes the frustrations that occurs within generational gaps, cultural differences, and different beliefs. But do we give up? Do we give up the fight? Is it all in vain? Or are we tired of stepping into the flame? What makes it all worthwhile? Is that we do it all for love. And when we accept our mistakes, we realize we're just as human. We're talking to Minella, Teresa, and Adriana about misconceptions about millennials. But millennials happen to be the most diverse and educated generation of Americans. Did you guys know that fact?
I didn't. So, we need to finish presenting Teresa.
Yes, Teresa.
Yes.
So tell us more. We didn't hear enough about your life.
Well, I'm born in Colombia. My parents divorced when I was 11, I think. So I passed to be the better half of my mom. So my teenager stage was super strict.
So you were like a mother?
Yes.
Like a second mom?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Exactly.
And how old were you when you came here?
When I came here, I was 18. But I came by myself. My dad already lived here. And then after 6 months, I live by myself. So I start working and studying at the same time. And that's it. I'm here.
You got to where you are today.
Yeah, so I got like my responsibilities since I was 17.
So yes, and one thing, guys, that I found to be in common is that we all, one way or another, regardless of the parenting styles, what I've noticed that we have in common is that we all had somehow responsibilities, and we also were able to suffer the consequences. And here's the thing. I realize that my dogs behave a lot better than my kids. And then I was thinking, how is this possible? And I realized it's because my dogs have a schedule.
And a structure.
Yes. We do certain things. The grooming is a certain time. The walk is a certain time. And I discipline them. They have to, you know, use the bathroom in a certain place. And, you know, we don't do that with kids.
Yeah, we do.
No, we don't. So here's the thing. I'm talking, and even, you know, it comes close to home. Even I'm talking to my sister. I'm having a conversation with my older sister. If a child, a teenager, young, doesn't matter what age, starts talking to her, she'll stop talking to me and talk to the kid, which is very nice. The kid feels very loved, but the kid doesn't learn patience and doesn't learn...
And respect to adults.
You said it. You said it.
Who said it? Who said it?
Teresa.
So you lose
the oldest one.
We think we're doing them good, or we think we're doing them kind, but is it really us trying to make ourselves feel better? And are we really conscientious thinking about doing what's best for the child, for the person? I realize I didn't do the best parenting. Because I don't blame my millennial being who she is on her. I could have done a better job parenting. That isn't always the case. But I'm sure that's a big portion of the case. I mean, it's just, and I don't know where God plays into your lives, but one of the things that kept me in line more than anything was God. Thinking God's always watching. Mm-hmm. So in one role, and can we go through each one of you, and how has it played a part in your adult life? Because as a millennial, you're in that stage in between being a very responsible adult and growing up. I mean, it's a very scary stage. It's a huge transition.
Well, plus they say that millennials don't believe in God no more.
Well, I'm sure they need God. It's a huge transition. Okay, so
I can start.
Okay. Well, like I said, I was raised Catholic, and that still being the way it was, in my household, even my brother, who's a year younger than I am the most liberal person in my family. So I totally agree with you there. It's nature and nurture. I'm just very different in that aspect from them. But I still do, from time to time, I'll go to church with my parents, and I'll pray. I'd rather go pray on my own than rather going to church. I lose focus in church, or going to mass, I mean. Like, I would rather go to church and just pray by myself. It just, for me, it feels like I'm doing more like that, because I always heard, oh, you know, you're supposed to go to mass and listen, because if not, what are you doing? But I tried. It's very hard.
Don't feel bad. I didn't read the Bible.
We'll say that.
Stop saying it already.
Okay.
But I don't always put it first in my life, but I do always try to find a place for my
So you still believe, and it's a cornerstone in your life, because you're at the point where you don't have your parents anymore, and it's you and the greater God. And I say it's better to believe in something than not to believe in anything. I mean, for whatever it's worth. So how about you, Manella?
Again, we are so different. Religion did not really play a big role in my life. My family is not that religious, and we are very analytical. Both my parents are teachers. My dad is a math professor. It was always very structured in that way. And talking of structure, I do want to comment on your earlier statement. I had my day planned out in 50-minute increments during college. Yeah. I mean, I had two jobs and a full-time student, so wow. I really had to plan everything. But it was not religion-driven. I do like to go to church occasionally. It's very inspirational.
Nice. And would you like to say something?
No, I just think we have one more minute.
Oh, one more minute. Okay.
And I want to say something about religion.
Okay, so go ahead. You have a few. You have a minute.
Like, I don't go into church like Adriana's, but I pray every day, like in the morning and at night. So I don't have, like, my relationship with God is not like go to a church or to a place or a temple or whatever. It's like more like between Him and me, like.
Yeah.
I have a conversation and
nice.
Like,
well, that's really
uh-huh.
what,
yeah.
See, that's really what it should be all about.
I don't do it every day, but once in a while I'll go to the church, but once in a while I'll
right.
be at home. But it's also very important stuff.
We'll be right back.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Sometimes I just need to be needed. Oh, I like to know I'm crossing someone's mind. I just wanna be someone that somebody needs. I just wanna be more than a drop in the sea. I just wanna
she
be
said, I'm counting up my karma, and I think it's time to cash it in.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Welcome to The Cure with Amy Cabell and Boris. You listen to us live on your radio every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern through our app, The Cure, or our website, amyspurpose.com.
Later, the show will be available as a podcast. Search The Cure on any podcast channel. We would love to hear your feedback on the show. Please visit amyspurpose.com and leave us a feedback through the survey under The Cure Radio. Thank you.
That was Wanted by One Republic. We could all use a little love sometimes. And who doesn't like to be needed or the center of someone else's mind? Mm-hmm. Across all generations and cultures, we all have one same thing in common. We need to be loved. And when we treat learning experiences with an open heart and mind, we tend to see things in a better way. When we realize God's love shines through everyone, misconceptions fade away. We are discussing common misconceptions about millennials. Another myth, guys, they don't need constant they need constant praise.
Well, we can argue on that one. Some of them do. Maybe. Guys, what do you think?
I do like to be praised.
We don't need it constantly. Once in a while would be nice.
Depends of the day.
I think that the misconception, like, from our end comes from, I don't know about you guys, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but I've talked to other millennials, and it's always been like a struggle because you have that need that is instilled in us to succeed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that was hit us really hard, like in our generation.
Yeah.
So to hear that we did it right, that we've succeeded in something, like that's what gets us through, and that's where I think you get people who are
positive
overachievers
feedback.
And
yeah.
people who are too lazy because they feel like they can't do it, and
yeah.
that's where like you have like this gap or like
so you benefit from positive feedback. Mm-hmm. And what I learned is that millennials are actually more competitive, probably because of all the technologies and all the advances, but are more competitive than past generations. And the I read so many things, but I can't talk about them all. Another myth they talked about was that millennials are social media experts.
Yes.
Is that true, guys?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Probably.
Well, true story.
It's
because
part of our generation.
Yes.
We're born with computers, cell phones. We grow up with computers, Google. And that's why.
And that's another thing that I read about the generation gap, is that generations before us, they were so literate. And if we're talking to like grandma and grandpa, for those who mm-hmm. have those, you know, they're not very literate in the computer. And so many things came of age. And other things that we have to take into account also is that millennials, you guys are faced with so many more challenges. It's almost as if you guys had to grow up faster.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. For us, or for the millennials that are like the good side, because you know that.
Well,
the
I'm talking about
ones,
good millennials.
Yeah.
Because I believe in general millennials are good. I've learned that in general millennials are good. Yeah. I no longer go by my own experience or the only thing I see on centralized TV.
Yeah.
For the ones that are like success, I feel that every day is like a fighting for us, like with us, like to be better.
Right.
To
so it gives you the incentive. The incentive.
To break these parameters that we have.
Break
that,
the cycle.
That we are lazy, that we cannot do this.
Yeah, she wants to break the glass. You want to break the glass?
She's shatterproof.
So that I think that like that is how we do every day as millennials, like the good ones. That every day we feel and we need that we have to do better, like get more education, to be the better of us as a person.
And that, again, that comes mm-hmm. to the social media, because you see how other people are doing mm-hmm. and what they're achieving, and you're like, oh, I want to do that too. I want to be better.
Yeah, it's true.
So you feel a certain responsibility to set a good example.
Yes.
And try to, you know, just rebut all those misconceptions that they have, because, I mean, it's sad when you hear somebody who's a millennial say, I'm not really a millennial. And you should be proud of who you are. You should be proud of where you are. And I don't understand why in the world you guys ever got this reputation, but I kind of do. It's because that's what I believed, because I saw it in my daughter, because I didn't raise her well. I don't know what other situations and other situations, but one thing that my daughter didn't have, she didn't have structure. She didn't get to suffer consequences. I rescued her from everything. Responsibilities, I did everything for her. And I'm sure those weren't your guys' your situation. And so then you can do things for people, but when it's when you teach them to do it for themselves is when they benefit the most, is when you're doing them the greatest good, not when you make yourself feel better. Right? I mean, what do you think, Bobby?
Yes, there's a lot of misconceptions, but I mean, all of those principles can apply to a lot of people. I don't know, sometimes generations or whatever, we're all the same. We all strive to do good, and I mean, there are bad apples in every part, in my opinion. Oh, another myth, millennials are lazy.
Oh, yes.
You think I'm lazy?
No, I don't. That's why we put it under the myth.
We are not.
We put it under the myth. So, guys, what do you think?
We are not.
Not
strongly.
According
Send
again.
To the camera.
Okay, like put the camera. We are not.
Again, it comes in like what we were talking about before, that there are certain ones that they feel like they've already failed, and that's what gets them like in a stage where they just don't
discourage.
They get
discouraged.
People
that they cannot do it.
Because
they cannot.
And isn't that the problem with stigma? I mean, should we let society, label us and tell us what we're supposed to, what characteristics we're supposed to show? I mean, and I wonder why they only pay attention to the millennials that are those things and not all the other wonderful millennials, because the three of you and all three of you are good millennials. I don't get it.
That's why that I say to you that I'm millennial, but like borderline. So because I don't want to be like the title like millennial. So I'm like, that's why that I told you, like, I'm borderline. So I almost out of the millennials because I don't want that label.
But we're just discussing that there shouldn't be a label.
That's
right? Yes. No label. What do you think?
Oh, you should say you should be
no,
proud.
No, because
of
a lot of the reasons.
Yes, I'm saying be proud, millennial.
I mean, you guys are the future generation. And if anything, we shouldn't be talking about your shortcomings. Who's perfect? Everybody has shortcomings.
Well,
who
I don't, and I'm not a millennial.
Perfect.
Sorry.
But you know what? It's wonderful when you can focus on people's strengths, their attributes, their gifts, the wonderful part that's unique about them that they have to offer to others. Because, I mean, it's incredible that you guys have such different stories, such different experiences, yet you guys each have such a unique role to play. And such unique attributes and qualities that it's not the kind of stuff that you hear on TV. And so that's why I wanted to do the show, because I wanted people to realize that I was talking one time to a guy in a radio show, and he said, it depends on who you're listening to, but he said, you know, most people are good. And I said, I like that. And so I say the same thing. Most millennials are good. Why not? I mean, I don't believe that thing that we're bad and then we have to become good. I think we're born good. And so if we're born good, and if you just treat millennials like the people that they are, without labels, without judgment, take a step back, look at yourself, realize you didn't do things perfect yourself when you're that age. And it's incredible. I saw myth after myth, study after study. Millennials were doing it better than previous generations. Every myth was rebutted. So basically, it's basically what it is. It's a myth. And for those of us who don't have millennials or don't know any better, it's really unfortunate. So, but I'm glad that there's you guys in the world and that you guys are the ones that are going to lead the way and try to recreate the perception, because it really is all about how you look at things. I mean, Bobby, when you hired, did you even think about that?
Actually, I was thinking about that. I was having second thoughts. I'm sorry, but now I don't regret it.
When we're back, we'll continue talking with Adriana, Teresa, and Manella about true millennials. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
Drop it down low, hit the pole with it. Drop it down low, drop it
will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
We're back. Thanks for being with us. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. You can listen to The Cure live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on your radio, on our app The Cure, and on social media.
All shows are available also as a video podcast. Just look for The Cure in iTunes, for example, or any podcast place. We would love to have your feedback on our show. Please visit the website amyspurpose.com and fill out the survey under The Cure Radio Show. Thank you.
Yes, please let us know how we're doing. And please, any suggestions?
Especially for me.
Suggestions would be great. That was Raising Hell by Keisha featuring Big Freddy.
Oh, the audience, yes! Quiet audience.
Okay, yes, we are blessed. Some of us can always find trouble, even though Mama raised us well, and some of us will only get to heaven after raising hell. That's life, that's youth, that's us, that's who we are, that's who we were. It's human nature, still we're blessed. We're talking about myths, about millennials. And so here's another myth, guys.
Oh, is it?
You know, you put the myths and you didn't put the answers.
There's no answer.
Oh, okay. I wanted to know what was. There was a study, actually. Answers. Okay. They're content to live with mom and dad. What do you guys think? Do we start with Adriana? How do you feel about that? Let's see if that myth is true.
I moved out of my house when I was 23. And I had been planning it since I was 18.
Wow.
So I don't think that's true.
So you were happy to move out.
I love my parents, and I love everything they did for me. I appreciate it a lot more now that I'm out of the house, actually.
Nice.
That is true. And
you had a good family.
I had a loving, nurturing family.
Look at that.
I didn't even ask them to leave. I appreciate them so much more now. Everything that, like, to live on myself, by myself, paying for everything by myself.
And you're living the responsibility.
Seeing other people and, like, how they were, like, raised and getting, like, a new perspective on, like, from everybody else's lives and mine. Like, I was blessed with two great parents.
And it seems like you love the responsibility.
They're listening. I'll show them now. No, but they did a good job. They did a really good job.
I think they say that they're content to live with mom and dad because they're scared of going out their own and dealing with responsibilities. And from what she's saying, she says, I love being on my own and I love the responsibilities. So how about you? What's your take on that myth?
I mean, it certainly is scary to make that move.
Especially if you're here by yourself.
Yes.
In another country.
It does get very difficult.
Yes.
It's not having, like, family here to fall back on, but I do have
extended family.
So
I'm the crazy.
The family she picked.
Yeah. But as I said,
we didn't want double trouble. We wanted triple trouble.
I did move out when I was very young. Well, actually, I was 13, not 14 at that time. So I'm used to being on my own. I'm used to being responsible for myself.
You're the one that went through boarding school.
Yes.
And what was that like? I mean, for those of us that don't know what that's like.
Well, the first 2 years that I went to the boarding school in Sarajevo, it was pretty difficult. We were allowed to go out once a week, only under supervision. We didn't really have any activities. It was basically school, and it was military style. Almost. We had to clean our room every morning before going to school.
Bed without wrinkles? 5 o'clock in the morning?
Not 5 o'clock. But we did have to make sure that it's clean.
Lots of exercise.
Yes. And then they would check the rooms before school. And then we go cafeteria and school.
Did you miss your parents?
I saw them pretty much every week. I would go home on the weekends.
But you think that it helped you transition into an adult?
It definitely did.
Nice.
It definitely did. Then for the last 2 years of high school, I rebelled a little bit. I applied for the school that I heard of. It was I'm the first generation in the school. My parents did not want me to change schools, so I applied. I got a scholarship, and then I spent 3 months of the summer begging my mom to let me go. So yes, I went, and that school I did love. We were very independent. We did have curfew, but we were allowed to actually go out and live our lives, and that also helped a lot develop my personality,
integrity, and responsibility, and accountability, and all the good stuff that the X generation grew up with that we take for granted that millennials also know. Mm-hmm. How about you, Teresa?
Well, I moved out my house when I was like 17.
So now your mom lives with you?
No anymore.
Ah, okay.
So that's a
Bobby
big
knows
transition.
All the school.
So actually that's another big transition.
Okay.
So it's my second transition. Yeah, but I'm here, I'm good. I tried to live with my father, but I don't live with him since I was 11, so it's so difficult, and I'm super independable.
So you've been independent since you were young?
Yes, 17.
Wow.
So living by myself, and same as I think everybody that wants the things their way, like I want my TV in this room or this one, like I don't want that nobody told me where or when or how I had to build my TV. Or
you had to learn everything on your own, figure everything
yes.
out for yourself.
Yes, well, I know some things, but yeah, figure it out. And but it, like I bought my cars, and I have to buy my insurance, my cell phones, my credit cards, so I have to learn all of that. And here in another country, because I live in Colombia, where I have everything, my parents provide everything for me. Good
and,
life.
And it's
like
much different now that you're in the States, and
uh-huh.
everything's how different?
Yeah, well, super different, because I have over there like a high status, like high level.
High status.
You know? So
yeah.
when I decide to move out to my house or my father's house, like, I had to go to a little space, and the car was like a transportation car. Mm-hmm. You know, it was my first car. So, but I'm like, now I thank God for everything that I learned in that process. And because if I don't pass all of that, I don't, like, maybe I'm the lazy, I will be the lazy millennium.
You don't want to be the misconceptions.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the, exactly. And
yeah.
and I understand that. I mean, it's nice that I get to know you guys, and I get to find out different. And people who will see this radio show will find out different. But until that happens for them, I mean, there's so many myths about you guys, that there's no marriage for you guys, that millennials don't want to be homeowners. It was really us when we were younger, only you guys are doing it better, because you have even more difficult, you have better circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
The digital world, the technical, the technological advances.
Well, you know, about the homeowner situation. Speaking of somebody who's trying to save up to buy a home.
Look at that, the baby millennial. The baby millennial, the more...
It's definitely more expensive than it was.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with it. And that, you know, and everyone says, like, you would have just stayed home with your parents and saved the money to buy your own home. But again, we also, I think, the other misconception is we actually want to be independent, which is why
mm-hmm.
we tried to move out before time. And the marriage thing, I think, also independentizing yourself. And like you said, we don't like to be told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different, there's a bigger gap now between you either get married much younger, or you wait and you have your experiences, enjoy your
youth. And you get married older.
And you get married older. So it's not necessarily that you don't want to get married, but, or maybe some people don't, and that's okay too. But, speaking as one, I do. Mm-hmm. But I...
You heard that, Blue?
Oh, Lord.
But I'm in no rush to be.
Well, no rush. And also it depends on where your priorities lie. So, but we're almost finished with today's show, guys. We only have a few minutes left. Thank you, Adriana, Manuela, and Teresa, for being with us today. Just to offer a new perspective on these myths and misconceptions has been so helpful, and I really am grateful for you guys being here. And thank you to our audio producer, Jasper, for being with us today. And thank you to you, Robbie, for his great advices. And happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for listening to us. But of course, we must pray, guys. Okay, I'm gonna pray. So let's pray. Lord, help us to be godly examples in our homes, to love and lead like you. We pray for our families and friends, our neighbors, and everyone we interact with every day. We pray for strong marriages, for children who honor and obey their parents, and for the lonely to be placed in families. We pray for healthy relationships that glorify and honor you, God. We pray for the downcast and the downtrodden all over the world and all across our nation. We pray for our churches, pastors, worship leaders, teachers, and fellow brothers and sisters in faith to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Finally, we pray for our government, the media, the military, and our nation. We pray for leaders who honor and glorify you, God. We pray for a culture of life and freedom. Protect the men and women in our military. Keep them safe and bless them and their families. Lord, heal our nation. Bring us back to you. Let your name be lifted higher than any other name in America. Amen. This is Amy Cabo. You have listened to The Cure. Until next week, much love.
Please check our podcast, The Cure with Amy Cabo, or our app, The Cure, or the website, amyspurpose.com. We would love to have your feedback on the show. Please visit amyspurpose.com and fill out the survey under The Cure Show.
Thank you for listening to The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information, or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit godisthecure.com.